Aloha.
Shout out Pearl Harbor, by the way.
Hello and welcome. We are back from the BallerLifestyle.com. It's the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. My name is Brian Beckner. Thank you very much for joining us. Episode number 569 of the show. We appreciate you listening. Thank you. Thank you so much. If you would like to reach out, if you have thoughts on, so the past couple weeks, we did, and a lot of people are like, are you going to play my voicemail? Assume that I either am or I'm not. And it just, I'm just like, that's as much like, do people text Joe Rogan and say, are you going to play my fucking voicemail? Because put it at that level for you. Okay. Consider it at that level. I'm either going to play your voicemail or I'm not going to play your fucking voicemail. I would prefer not to answer a question about it. So leave a voicemail and don't be happy if you hear it. Anyway, so the past couple weeks, we haven't done any of that because we had the great history's worst song tournament that was really fun to do, that we had our friend Jason Stewart on. So please, if you haven't, go back and listen to those and give us your thoughts on a mailbag at theballerlifestyle.com. 949-464-TBLS 8257 is the phone number to leave a voicemail. We would love to have your thoughts on the songs. What we got right, what we got wrong. I mean, we got the winner right. There's no, like, I'm not going to spoil it for you right now, but no one can listen to that whole tournament and go, oh, you really fucked up on who won. That's a great song. No, the winner was right. And there's just so many shitty songs in the world. It literally could be a million song tournament. But we definitely got the winner right. So we will take your thoughts on what we got right, what we got wrong. Mailbag at theballerlifestyle.com. 949-464-TBLS. I am joined now, as always, by Mr. Ed Daly. Ed, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. I forget. There was either it was through Instagram or yes. Twitter or text. And like I received some good suggestions.
Yeah.
But I just like.
It's a lot.
I don't check things that
it's
much.
It's a lot.
Like. I check Instagram every couple of days, like, and I forgot somebody, and then I couldn't find it, and it's like, so I'm happy for you guys to let us sure. know what we forgot.
I realized after the fact we forgot to include anything by one of the great shitty artists of all time, Smash Mouth, and maybe it was out of respect because he died. Smash Mouth, Mr. Smash Mouth died, and we're like, what? We're gonna piss on a man's grave when he's given us so much joy in his life? Yeah. And look,
I mean, we did shit on Eric Clapton's son.
That's hell. His memory is like, we don't want to think of a 3-year-old falling out of a building because his dad was high on heroin, which is not the truth.
Not the truth at all.
At all. So, I mean, I think we got it right.
The ride we went on with that one.
Somebody, Fan reached out to point out the inconsistency in Jason Stewart's logic because in the episode one, in the play-ins of the tournament, there's another shitty band we forgot to include, Blink 182. In the Limp Bizkit Behind Blue Eyes cover, he distinctly said, any cover is the worst song.
It cannot advance.
It cannot advance. And then he contradicted himself in the second round, in which he said that he had different thought. I can't remember now. But Fan sent me evidence. He sent me like screen recordings of what, because I'm like, I don't know. I think you're wrong. And he's like, no, actually, I'm right. And he sent me screen recordings. And I'm like, oh, yeah, this fucking Jason Stewart, Mr. Inconsistent. The guy preaches consistency. And what is he? He's a fucking hypocrite. Talks about consistency, shows no consistency. Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to do a little magic trick. This is one of those sorcery things.
No.
This mug is going to be black. Stop. When it gets cold, no. It's going to be black.
No, stop. How does that?
Bob Ross painting.
Then
by the end of the show, it's just going to be a cold black mug.
And they don't even have the technology for that. That's not even, that hasn't been invented yet. How do you like this? Is witchcraft in your basement?
Michelle gave it to me, I think, for Christmas a couple years.
It's a beautiful gift,
and I was happy about it. It was, and then I watched the Bob Ross documentary. You find out all the merchandising, the right people aren't getting that money.
I know. It's the same with the Calvin and Hobbes guy.
Right, crocked him here.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And look. That's everybody's getting fucked over. I'm listening to the Mike Campbell from Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. I'm listening to his book, and he kind of talks shit from time to time on Tom Petty. Like when he went to him and he was like, "Hey Tom, I'm like writing half the songs and I'm doing all the arranging in the studio and I'm doing like everything. How about I get a little bit more of a taste?" To which Tom Petty replied, "I'm Tom Petty." And that was it. But like, it was pretty good. But he was just talking about how if he hadn't have been Tom Petty, that they come out from Gainesville, they signed this record contract, they gave away all of their publishing and their very first record contract. And then when MCA tried to enforce that, Tom Petty's like, "Go fuck yourself." And they're like, "No, you don't understand. You owe us all your publishing." And Tom Petty's like, "No, I don't. I'll never do another fucking song again. You can go fuck yourself. How about I declare bankruptcy right now?" And then they're like, "Oh, they got him at a time where he didn't have anything yet. You know, they hadn't paid him anything yet." So he's like, "What? I'm already fucking poor. Go fuck yourself. I'm not doing shit for you." And then he's like, "I'll just declare bankruptcy." And he won. And it's
awesome.
Yeah. And it's like, I can't remember the reason I'm making that point, but yeah.
We were talking about how Bob Ross.
People getting fucked over. Yes. Like it's, yeah. and everyone that you look up to got completely fucked over by some billionaire cunt in their life.
Yeah.
Like, period. Poor Bob Ross. R.I.P. What a legend. Did he fuck? I mean, his hair.
In the documentary, it seems like he couldn't be tied down to just one woman.
What a fucking pimp. That's that. I do love that he was stuck with that hair. Like, he didn't want to have a perm, but he was just stuck having a perm for his whole life because that's what he showed up with.
That's it.
It's kind of like Captain Kangaroo, that piece of shit Captain Kangaroo. He showed up with those bangs and that page boy haircut, and then he just has to look like that forever.
And he fucking hated kids.
Well, I mean, come on, who could blame him? Okay, Ed, let's talk about people who died. That's not the people who died song. Hold on.
That's the end of our show, not the end of life talk.
That's right. Well, I have people who died on the wrong page.
It's been a couple weeks without some updates. So some of these announcements, you might be like, "I heard about
this." Who gives a fuck? Yeah, just look, I don't want to hear it. Here we go.
Just tell us who is dead now. Just tell us who is dead now. Who died? It's a sad segment.
Very sad.
And it will not be an update on who's alive.
Nope.
Let's get a tragic update.
Tragic update.
Cause Ed Daily has been keeping up on who just died.
Yep.
Cause we're about to hear from Ed on which celebrities are dead. So tell me who died.
Who died?
Ed! Who died since we've been gone?
We lost an iconic boxer and frying pan man.
Yeah, pitcher.
George Foreman.
Yeah.
76 years old. When he died, I saw some highlights, and man, that punch he hit Michael Moore with. He was like 46 and won the title.
Michael Moore was 29. And Michael Moore, he was a boxer and he was piecing him up that whole fight. He was just kicking it. You know, it was like kind of embarrassing. Oh, here's this 40-year-old guy that thinks he can fight, and he's just getting pieced up by this younger guy. But the problem is that George Foreman has fucking hands of fucking stone. And if he puts one on your chin, you're going to go to sleep. It's insane.
I saw a clip of somebody like asking Michael Moore about like, you know, how hard did he punch? And he was like, "Ah, it wasn't that hard," or something like that. And it's like, pretty sure you lost the fight.
Was he taking his meals through a tube? Like, I mean, yeah, he got hit pretty fucking hard.
Broke his jaw or something. He fucked him up.
He did. Up hit. And it's, and people that didn't live through it, it's, I mean, it probably seems kind of normal, but it was fucking wild that a 45-year-old guy was the heavyweight champion of the world. Like, it was just beyond the pale that you just never thought you'd see something like that. And there was only one guy that could do it. And then he reinvents himself as the, this pitch man for the fucking Foreman Grill. I think he died with like 400 million shekels in the bank. Like, he did pretty well for himself as a pitch man.
Yeah.
He's very likable.
And likable dude. And if you ever get a chance, I think it's called When We Were Kings, about the documentary about the Rumble in the Jungle.
Yeah.
The stupid Will Smith Ali movie, which focuses somewhat on that fight. That's not the way you want to consume this.
Yeah.
It was really good. And, you know, Foreman, after losing that, right, he did a, I think he was kind of a quiet, mean dude.
Yeah.
And that happened. Then he became this jovial when he was making his comeback. When he tuned up Michael Moore, he was like a jovial guy.
Yes. Him.
But back in the 70s, early 70s, he was like a scary, mean, quiet dude.
Yeah. Very much like the villain, you know, like it. Yeah. And yeah, a complete just reinvention of himself where he just came out and had a personality. And I think he found the Lord and all that. And he had a, you know, he had a nice life and he had a whole bunch of kids named George.
So he named them all the same fucking thing.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it seems stupid, but also he doesn't have to remember too much.
No.
If he needs attention from any kid.
Yeah.
Hey, George, grab me a beer. George.
Get in here, George.
George, ask your mom what's for dinner. George.
That's awesome. RIP George Foreman.
RIP. RIP Matt Stevens, Eagles, Redskins, Patriots, Texans safety, 53 years old. Very sad. I think I saw you just, he would, died at his home and then I couldn't get the cause of death.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
pretty interesting.
Tell me.
He won the Super Bowl with the Patriots, like maybe Brady's first around there.
Sure.
Then in the expansion draft, he was the first ever free safety for the Houston Texans.
Wow. Very sad. I mean,
very sad.
We're hearing a lot. We do one of these stories almost every week. NFL player in his 50s. Very sad.
It's close to the onion thing about
a
wrestler found alive. RIP Donald Slick Watt, Supersonics legend, 73 years old. I saw a picture in his obit. That dude looked very fucking cool. Of course he was.
I mean, I don't know one thing about him, but I know via that nickname that this man got a lot of pussy in his life. That's just fucking guarantee. They're calling you Slick. That means you got some game for sure. RIP.
Also, my God, we got to get a team back in Seattle. We need that Sonics gear.
I totally agree with you. Yeah. Look, we're looking at the Heat and the fucking Oklahoma something and man, Memphis and Charlotte. Get the fuck out of here with all that. I need the fucking Seattle Supersonics back badly.
Right. And not give them the name.
And not
the name, not like some bullshit, new name.
No. Could you imagine the Seattle Grizzlies or some bullshit? No, thank you. The Kraken's bad enough.
RP. John Feinstein, sports writer, commentator, he wrote some books, 69 years old. I worked at a bar/restaurant in college, and he was working on a season in the ACC book.
Yeah.
And so he would go in there and have lunch with Gary Williams.
Oh, Coach
several
Williams.
Times. So it was tough seeing him in person. He was not a good looking man.
Well, I mean, I don't. RIP.
Yeah. Every column about himself.
Yeah.
He put himself in every story.
He used to, I believe he would show up on the sports reporters back in the day and maybe also Real Sports. And so when we were putting this together with our notes today and I was like, oh, John Feinstein died. And it said age 69. And I was like, oh, Ed is referencing his age back in 1997 when he was on the sports reporters report. You're trying to tell me that he was 69 today, this recently when he died? Unbelievable.
Every column would be like, and then this is how I fit into the story here. You'd be like, what?
Yeah, I know.
And people loved him. He wrote some good books.
Yeah.
But his columns in the Washington Post, it was just insufferable.
Yeah.
My buddy sent me the obit and he goes, great. Now who's the sports reporter I hate the most?
I mean, it is weird that like,
or now who am I supposed to
who,
hate?
Yeah, who are the columnists now? You know, like we used to,
yeah, they're all on TV.
Yeah. We used to read all these guys, and now there's like Bill Simmons, who's pretty fucking insufferable. But I never have to encounter him. Like, you don't have to go. Yeah, he doesn't
write anymore.
No, probably not. No, I don't know. I have no idea.
I think nobody writes anymore.
Yeah, no one does. Yeah.
We lost the big O, Oliver Miller, former Razorback and NBA big man, 54 years old, cancer. This dude, if you didn't see him, he was fucking like really good. He was a big, big, heavy guy.
Very.
And in the obit, it said, you know, the heaviest man in the NBA. That's kind of mean.
He couldn't have been heavier than Jerome Kersey, although Jerome Kersey wasn't that tall. Like, there had to be.
Yeah, the big O was fucking enormous.
Yeah.
And he was like really smooth. Like,
yeah, he could move. Yeah.
It's like guys like him or Muggsy Bogues, you have to think, like, how fucking good is this guy to overcome this body type?
Yeah.
And like, he played a number of years in the NBA.
Oh, yeah.
And he was part of the Arkansas national champion team. And then they also made the Final Four. I think they lost to Ed O'Bannon.
Yeah, they did. UCLA. Yeah. Yeah. And then he was a high draft pick. He was on the Phoenix Suns.
He was son. He was a Raptor.
Yeah.
He's a good player. But,
yeah.
Very sad cancer. So very it sad. Wasn't the weight that did him under.
Unless it was Eclair induced cancer or bear claw related. But who knows? You know, you never know.
Very sad.
Yeah. You don't want anybody to get cancer.
And then this guy has a cool story. R.I.P. Junior Bridgman. Yeah. He was the former Milwaukee Bucks sixth man and then turned into a wildly successful, like, billionaire businessman. Yeah. And then he bought 10% of the Bucks, 74 years old.
Yeah, I think he's one of those guys, very sad, obviously, but he's one of those guys where he was like as rich as Michael Jordan. Like, he's one of these guys that you never heard of. But
super smart dude.
Yeah. Yeah, but it was really good. Was really good in business. Like, owned a lot of like franchises, and just really got the business game down early on. Very sad. R.I.P. Junior Bridgman from the Milwaukee Bucks. Let's talk some sports.
My name is Brian. They call me the other guy. I host a podcast show. I'll give hetero life a try. If you see something on my hand that makes you think I'm not a man, it's just my cool rings, you see. They're as sparkly as can be. I'm my own joy on DVD.
Ed, what is going on what happened in the world of sports since we've been gone? We've been gone forever. We've been working diligently to determine the worst song in history. We did determine it. We came up with the worst song. That's for fucking sure. I mean, it could have been Train. Spoiler alert, Train got fucked over. Train got fucked over early. Okay, that's it.
I picked it to lose, I think, in the semis, but then I understood that it was good that I was wrong there.
Yeah.
Because I picked Meatloaf to beat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The winner. Yeah.
Because I was just thinking, well, that song's longer, so maybe that's worse, but I get it. We picked the right one.
Loaf. I mean, look, and when we discussed this on the episode, I mean, there's, you replay this tournament 100 times, you're going to get 100 different winners. Like, it was the most wide open tournament in the history of tournaments. It was yes. Unbelievable.
Kendrick Perkins claims Michael Jordan cut off his free sneaker supply after he called LeBron the GOAT.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look.
Yeah.
You got to know where your bread is buttered.
That's true. Yeah. You want
is
free
LeBron
shoes?
Giving you free shoes?
No. No. Look, Kendrick Perkins, look, I need a translator because he's so, he talks a lot. He's so country. I can't understand what he was saying, which is fine. But look, the other night, I was watching the Lakers gave up like a 15-point lead in the last like 13 seconds of the game and then lost on a half court shot to the Bulls. But they really lost the game because LeBron James was inbounding the ball and he made the laziest inbound pass you've ever seen in your life that the Bulls turned into consecutive 3-pointers and then took the lead and won the game. And I was thinking to myself, and Ed, you would agree with me because you're a huge Michael Jordan fan. Do you think Michael Jordan one time, and this is all you need to know about the GOAT conversation. Do you think Michael Jordan one time in his life ever made a fucking lazy inbound pass in a game that got turned over and turned into a three-pointer? Do you think that happened one single fucking time? Never.
Maybe in the first quarter he wasn't thinking about
never.
But crunch time, and that's my feelings for Michael Jordan.
Sure. Your all-time favorite player. I know. Love him. Yeah.
Hate his guts.
Yes.
But I think it's just the crunch time thing. Yeah. And like LeBron's numbers since he's been a Laker have been abysmal on like game winners or tied or, you know, something like whatever the clutch.
Because it's his retirement job.
He's impressive. You know,
he's been around a long time.
Yeah, he's been around. He's done lots of things.
Yeah.
But Jordan, it's just he's not the GOAT. And also,
yeah,
Kendrick Perkins was getting really expensive sneakers for free.
Yeah. You think that's going to last forever?
From one of the most petty guys on earth.
That's right.
He's going to hear that.
Yeah.
And he called the Nike people and he's like, "No."
That's why he is the GOAT.
No more.
It's because if you fuck him, if you say some shit, he's going to hear that and he's not going to give you shoes anymore, and that's what makes him the GOAT. That's what right. by definition That's what makes him the GOAT. So, look, and also, like, I mean, if I were Kendrick Perkins, I would probably cry about it because it does make for good content to cry about not getting free Jordans anymore. But also, like, it is kind of bitch to be like, oh, where's my free shoes, you know? And also, have there been, like, since, like, Jordan 1s and Jordan 3s, like, do we need any other Jordans? There's only really two levels of Jordans that we need. Jordan 1. Jordan 3, and those are 40-year-old shoes. So why are they still even making new Jordans? Like, I see people with this whole like Jordan room, and I'm like,
yeah, like a wall of Jordans.
Yeah, you know, and they're like, oh, should I wear my 11s? And the answer is no, unless you're wearing Jordan, the original Jordan 1s in the Bulls colors, or you could also wear the Carolina blue. That's fine, or you're wearing the Jordan 3s either in black or cement. There's the only Jordans out there. There's no other Jordans. You don't need a whole fucking room full of Jordans. You don't need them sent to you every fucking season. Get the fuck out of here.
I got the 3s from a certain website.
Oh, you did. That is a great website.
$60.
You know what? I got a couple jerseys from that website. And look, if you're a Red Circle subscriber, we'll give you that website. But don't be coming to me and asking me the website without your fucking bona fides that you're a Red Circle subscriber. I'll give it to you. Ed gave it to me. I got a couple jerseys. I got a Ricky Henderson jersey. Yeah, and I got an Eric Davis jersey, and they're indistinguishable. Like they're 100% legit. Like they're so good.
You didn't have to pay $200 for
them. No, they were like, it was like $22 or something. It was so fucking cheap. I love them. What else is going on?
Ex-Packers, Cardinals, and Giants running back LaShawn Johnson was charged in a federal dogfighting case. 190 dogs were seized from his property.
There shouldn't be 190 dogs on this planet. Like, that's more dogs than exist, 190. So,
even if you didn't care for them, he had to feed them so they'd be able to fight for him. That's a ton of food.
That is a lot of food. And that means, you know, like, Mike Vick, you know, remember the guy that did our Reddit page that we used to email us that had to dip out of following the show because he was having problems with his wife. I don't know why that means you can't listen to podcasts, by the way. But that was
update our show.
Yeah, or update our show. That was never explained. But that was our dear friend Mike Vick did nothing wrong. And I thought that was a great handle. But Mike Vick, he had to have a whole team of people running his dog fighting operation. So it's like it's a business.
Mike Vick got paid, so he had money.
Yes.
I saw this guy, his like total stats. We're like, I think he scored like 7 touchdowns in the NFL spread off across a few seasons with a few different teams. So he didn't get that bag.
No. And look here, and I'll take another tact, another side of it here. Oh, it's turning black. Oh, no. Oh, but Bob Ross stays there. So the whole thing does it. Just the painting.
Just the background. Just the paint.
That is a beautiful item, man. I love that. This happened in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma.
Oh, wow.
Great. First of all, great John Travolta movie with
Howie Long.
Howie Long is a bad guy wearing his Skechers.
Remember there was like a 2-year stretch where they're like, Howie Long's going to be, he's going to be in some shit. Like he randomly was in an episode of 90210. They were just putting him in shit. And you're like, what? What is Howie Long doing here? Why is he talking to Steve Sanders? Why is he in a John Travolta movie?
What? Yeah. I mean, Howie Long was like considered handsome, I think. Like he, but
there's a haircut you can take your watch to.
He would walk into the barber and say, "Give me the Chris Mullin." He'd point to a picture of Chris Mullin on the wall and say, "Give me one of those. Give me an Arlie Ermey before I get out of here." And then they're like, just every once in a while this happens. Like they try to do this with the Boss. Now the Boss is fucking awesome, and he's still in things. Like the Boss actually can kind of act, you know. But this Howie Long, he's pretty wooden, you know. They're just like, we're going to put him in stuff. What I was going to say is that much like statutory rape in the Dominican Republic, Ed, where I don't think they don't know that you're not allowed to do that there. Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. It's not illegal to fight dogs in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Like it's wide open. There's nothing but dog fighting there. That's like this guy's like, why are the police here? Well, hey, do you guys want to get down on this? You guys want to get, he was probably friends with the police.
He was probably pulled at Costanza when you got caught having sex with in the office. Was that wrong? I didn't.
Former NFL player LaShawn Johnson arrested a dog fighting operation, 190 dogs, considered the most ever taken from one person in a federal dog fighting investigation. You know, he's flexing on that, right? Like he's
right.
Like he's what, locked really? Up and he's like, what? I got the most. Do you think I got the least? Because I don't. I got the most. Johnson of Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, has been charged with possessing the pit bull type dogs for use in an animal fighting venture and for selling, transporting, and delivering a dog for use in an animal fighting venture. The dogs were taken. Yeah, it's cruel, depraved. Yeah, but it's Oklahoma, guys. Like, look, shit's different there.
Also, look.
Yeah.
I would hate to see any animal struggling or anything, except for birds.
These dogs know what they signed up for. Like,
but
yeah,
it is crazy. When the Mike Vick shit went down, he was getting treated worse than Ray Caruso.
Yeah, I know. I know.
It's like, okay, there's a difference between dogs and humans. Yeah.
It is a thing that oftentimes that people that are the most sensitive to animal suffering are the least sensitive to human suffering. Like that's like, it's just like, it seems to like go hand in hand that if you're like super worried about dogs, you ain't that worried about human beings. Like that's just something I've noticed. So look, but they're born pit bulls, Ed. Pit bull. Like they were made to kill bulls. Like if they didn't want to be dog fighters, they should have been chihuahuas or some shit. You know, it's like, this is your lot in life.
A Taco Bell commercial.
Yeah, exactly. Like, look, we were privileged enough to be born in the richest country in the world. So when people try to step foot from some other shittier, less good place with an imaginary line drawn and they walk into our better place, we're better than them. And we got to go get the fuck out of here.
It's a skill being born
of
in
course,
the
United States. Of course, yes. Skill. Look, yes. We're
hard to be born here.
Look at this skin. Very fucking white, okay? Hey, that's not my fault, but I'm going to run with it, okay? So you come over here with this brown skin and you cross this line.
Yeah,
get the fuck out of here.
More than one line there.
That's right. Multiple lines. Same as being born a pit bull, you know? Not my fucking problem. What else, Ed?
A Bulgarian soccer team held a minute of silence for a former player who is still alive. They had to apologize. Old Pelko Genchev was like, wait, what the fuck? I'm still alive.
I got to write down Pelko Genchev because so I can name the... Well,
or is it Petko?
Either. Doesn't matter. They're both great. I have to add that to my... Hold on. Pelko Genchev because I'll forget. I have to add that to my list of like Randy Frenchman, Carlos Von Carlos.
Petko Genchev.
Petko Genchev.
TKO.
So Bulgaria is like
they showed a picture of them all lining up.
Yeah.
Honoring.
Was he just in the drunk tank or something? Let's find out.
We'd love to express a huge apology to the former Arda player Petko Genchev and his relatives after the club received the wrong information about his death. We wish him many more years of good health and enjoy the success of all.
Bulgaria is one of those places where you're like, where somebody's like, oh, Bulgaria. And you're like, is it? Are we sure? Like, Bulgaria is not real, right? It's like Armenia.
There's a neighbor that's from Bulgaria.
You got a Bulgarian neighbor? Get the fuck out. Is he a power lifter? Because that's all that comes from Bulgaria is power lifters.
Oh, I know. They clean up the Olympics. Oh, this is great.
Yeah.
I don't miss a chance to watch Arda games matches on TV. Now against Levski, I was late by about 10 minutes because I had some work. While I was driving home, my phone started ringing a lot, but I'm driving and don't dare pick it up. I park in front of our house. I enter the yard. My wife welcomes me in tears. She says, Petco, you're on television. They announced you had passed.
It would be funny if he got home and his wife was like remarried. It was
It was like
Castaway.
Finally, I can fuck his brother.
Yeah, he's like, what? You didn't wait for me? And she's like, I thought you were dead. And he's like, I was just coming home from work. It's been 20 minutes.
And he's just doing the responsible thing, not picking up his phone while he's driving.
Yeah, exactly. I couldn't let
everybody's moved on from
R.I.P. Petco Ganchev.
We've got a scheduling note for Firefest 2. Antonio Brown says he's performing at Firefest 2. It's coming up, right? Mexico?
On an island.
Apparently coming up, even though lots of people are like, nah, I don't think they have anything finished.
This is why this podcast needs to be bigger, because we need to be enlisted to assist in the promotion of Firefest 2 so that more influencers and models and Nepo babies and just shitty people can buy tickets to go see fucking Blink 182 or whoever's not actually performing, the Chainsmokers, what, or Antonio Brown, like whatever. Like, what's, who cares? Like, also, what is Antonio Brown? Does he do like spoken word? Does he rap?
I would think he rapped.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe he's got like a nice voice. I don't know. I don't know anything about him but crazy headlines.
I know. And it's like, it seems like he's had like a resurgence. And I've been predicting that this guy was going to be dead by Christmas for like a couple Christmases now. And
yeah.
He seems to be hanging in there. He seems to have gotten shit together.
He seems to be alive, but I don't think he's doing well.
It's hard to know. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Do you think when he performs at Firefest 2 that he's going to be, you know how like people have like
dicks coming out?
Well, yeah, he's going to be waving his dick around and then he's going to be like, for my encore. And he's going to come out for the encore. And then out of nowhere, Vontaze Burfict's going to fly from the side of the stage and fucking knock him into the crowd. Like, who? Like,
or
send me a ticket.
Security guard.
Yeah. Yeah. Either or both. Yes. Vontaze Burfict in his Dodgers stadium security outfit is going to come fucking tackle. He's going to give another helmet to helmet contact with Antonio Brown. Let's hope. Okay, Ed. What else? Oh, wait. Is that the last one?
That's the last one.
I kind of fucked up here. Okay. Let's do some voicemails.
He's so easy to hate. Your time he likes to waste. His calls are far from great. His calls are far from great. He's such a stupid fuck. He seems down on his luck. His voicemails really suck. His voicemails really suck. No one's enjoying him. He's so annoying. Plus so fucking boring and worthless, but he's got nothing else to do. And he's even worse than Ish. His faults are useless, shit.
Poor Ish. We've got some voicemails. Yeah, RIP Ish. Left when somebody else. There were a couple deaths in the family around that time. Let's get to some voicemails here.
Ed.
Oh,
Darbo.
Oh, it's Darbo in the OC. Golf correspondent. Maybe he's got some golf updates for us. We love Darbo. Good guy. I haven't heard from him in a while.
I need some help. I don't know if you ever had. Did you have Loveline on the East Coast? You probably did.
You know. Of course, Ed knows Loveline. He's the number one biggest fan of Dr. Drew Pinsky in the world. He's
heroin addiction. The best move. We're gonna put you on TV. Fucking asshole. Charlatan.
My dear friend, Bri Becks, you know him.
Oh, that's me.
Good guy.
Yeah.
I thought.
Very.
We're friends. We're good friends. Like, we were.
We're
like,
buddies.
We golf together.
Yeah.
We have beers. How does Brian say it? Beers together? I don't know why he just doesn't say beer.
Beers.
Or Amazon.
Yeah.
Instead of Amazon.
Anyway. Either. Yeah.
I digress.
Not anymore. I'll have an NA beer. Brian has given up the ghost on alcohol. So, but I still go out and do beer things. Like, I would love to, you know, when you don't drink, people are like, oh, Brian won't have fun. I invite me places. I would love to meet people and I will have an NA beer and hang out with you and eat chicken wings.
The other night, he threw out in a text message thread we have with a couple people, hey, G-Fish, have you seen my live? I read all of Brian's texts, like, okay, I think he would say it. Hey, G-Fish, have you seen my...
So, hold on, I'm sorry, this needs to be explained, because Ed and the audience aren't going to get this. What he's saying is that in my Instagram, or in this group chat, and it's me, my good buddy Gordy Moose Jaw, my dear friend of the show, Travis Rogers, and another friend of the show, our J. Stu correspondent, G-Fish. We're in a group text, and what he's saying is... I said, G Fish, did you see my live? Because G Fish's wife, because I'll go out and I'll go on these hikes and I get inspired from being out in the world. You know, I think of things to talk about and I'll make a video about it while I'm out there walking. And G Fish's wife is a science teacher. And so a lot of times, and I've shown you these videos, you love them, I'll see rattlesnakes out on the trail. What?
No.
And I'll see, like, I saw wood ducks, and I almost got, Ed, one time, and I won't play the video right now. One time I was walking, it was dark, and I'm always thinking, man, I'm lucky that I was born a white man and nobody's going to try to ass rape me out here on these, cause it's in the dark and it's kind of scary to be walking in the dark. One night I'm walking, Ed, and I walk like by like a little river creek bed, and I'm walking under like an overpass, all right?
Oh no.
Yeah, in the dark. Cuz it got dark while I was out there. Started light, it gets dark when I'm on my way back, right? I'm walking under an overpass, pitch black. And all of a sudden, I hear this at night, Ed. And I look back and something furry is in flight, flying through the air. And like a flying raccoon or something, people are saying bat, but a bat is this big. A bat is a size of a baseball. This thing was like that big.
Is it an owl?
So I was thinking owl, but it didn't sound like an owl. I determined, because I asked my dear friend G Fish, whose wife is a big Rosemary science teacher. I go, hey, show her this video. What does she think? And she said, she thought it was a hawk that was trying to protect its nest, probably from an owl. And that's what we determined it was. So that's a little background.
Terrifying. And I've said this before.
More snake videos.
When I go down to like my sister's house,
oh, yeah,
and it's like suburbia, and I'm sure no crimes have been committed there in decades and decades, I am terrified when I'm like outside in the dark, because I live in a city. So there's just people and lights all around. And when I'm like alone and there's just like an animal noise or something.
Yeah.
It's terrifying.
Oh, yeah. Our dear friend of the show, Katie Shady, and husband, Mr. Shady, I was at their house last summer and it was going, we're getting fucked up and stuff. And it was dark and I had to take a piss and I didn't want to go walk back in the house. And they're like, oh, just go out there behind the garage. And I'm like, well, it's dark. And they're like, yeah. And their house backs up to like Ed Woods.
Oh no.
That's where fucking Jason Voorhees is. Yes, Jason Voorhees. Leatherface is waiting behind the garage for me. And not to mention, what kind of murder animals live in Cincinnati, Ohio, Northern Kentucky, Ed? Like, what is that? What could be back there? And they're like, oh, just go out there. I'm like, I can't even see where to step. There's like, what, where am I walking here? Like, oh, I'm just going to, and they live by like a creek, like some water or some shit, woods. I don't fuck with woods, Ed. I'm not going outside by woods.
Woods are terrifying.
So this is what Darbin the OC is alluding to. It's, I'm sending out to, I go, hey, G Fish. Also, Darb gets really jealous that that Greg's wife is such a fan of the stories that I put out there. She likes the science content that I do, and I give it to my. I basically, I'm like Steve Irwin out there, Ed. I'm out there doing, I'm teaching people about the local animals, the flora and the fauna. Okay, let's see what he's got to say.
You should get a khaki shirt and shorts.
I would. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Go on those walks.
I know.
So you can be the full
boots.
Yeah, the whole thing.
Yeah, and like lots of strappy pockets and stuff.
Yeah, and just start calling your daughter Bindi. Just be like,
wow. Yes, Bindi. I'll get the haircut. I get the bangs that he had. Why not?
The feathered hair.
Do the accent.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. Okay.
And so I go on to Instagram.
That's right.
Sitting on the couch, got nothing to do, to look for his live, and right. I can't find Brian. Cannot find him on Instagram.
Well, it's just Brian. I send
my dear friend Bri-Bri back to text. Hey, Bri-Bri. Yeah. Did you bounce from Instagram? I can't find you.
That's right.
And he responds with, I blocked you a while ago. You were annoying me.
Yeah.
I got to be honest, Ed. I'm kind of down in the dumps. I mean, my feelings were hurt by this dear friend of mine. And so now he's tried to refollow me, and now I got to go follow him back. Yeah. And I don't know if I want to. I don't know if this can be repaired. I could use some help, some advice. Just really, really threw me for a loop. Golf update. The Players is this weekend. Field sucks. Libs ruined everything.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
That's thank you for that. Now, I have
wonderful update.
I have some thoughts on this. It seems like he's kind of looking for advice from you, Ed. Do you want to weigh in before I offer my explanation?
My advice on Insta Live is the same advice I'd give someone who wants advice on like gymnastics or something. Yeah. I've never sought it out. Like I reached a point in my life where unless somebody sends me the link to some video, I'm not like just scrolling through videos.
Yeah.
Because this is why I know everything has shifted towards Instagram and videos. The thing I liked, Twitter before it became this like fucking Nazi cesspool.
Yeah.
I like to do things silently. So I'm either laying in bed, just not ready to get out, and Michelle's asleep next to me. Or I'm watching TV and I don't want something loud to be playing.
Yeah.
I don't like playing videos that much because I've got something else on. And so that's why I don't seek out Insta stories at all. So if you said check out my live, I've never seen any.
Yeah. That's, you know, imagine. And that's a great perspective, Ed. Imagine that you go upstairs and you get in bed. And you're like 98% asleep. And then another person comes up and they decide they're ready to go to bed. And you're in your position. You got your pillows and you're like, I do this. I sleep like this. Pretend it's me. That's just happening too. I'm like this with the pillows. I'm all ready.
Yeah.
And somebody comes up and gets in bed and they just fucking crack open their phone. And at full fucking volume, start watching videos with no headphones. And then you go like this, hey, do you want to put on some headphones? And they're like, it's not going to be that long. I'm just watching some stories before I go to bed. And I go, well, I'm trying to go to sleep. And then they gaslight you. They go, will you do it? As if I would do such a thing. Play loud videos while people are trying to sleep. Okay, get the fuck out of here. Okay.
Long story short,
yes.
You had no silverware.
And then I was carless and bank accountless and silverwareless and couchless and TVless. And you know what? Who gives a fuck? Appliance-less. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter at all.
Nope.
Okay. Here's let me respond to Darvin the OC. You know, and a lot of people know, if you know Darvin the OC, you know, this guy is a major fucking exaggerator. He will spin a yarn. In this case, he is not lying at all. This is 100% true. Exactly what he said. I blocked him. He was fucking annoying me. Like I would post a video and look, I get it. People don't like get what I'm doing here. You know, like people like I'm not for everybody. So I'll post a video here's the response he'll give me. You look like you're on coke. Or he'll say something like, Why do you drink water like that?
I see he's just being mean.
He's mean to me. And then I go, on my walks, I notice like funny things on the ground, things that I think are funny, like Plan B, like empty packages of Plan B. You know what? You can probably see this on your bike a lot in the city, Ed. People discarding, I think we've talked about it, people discarding their dental appliances on the ground.
Yeah, oh, disgusting.
They're everywhere. And I'm seeing this. And so I post that, and then Dar will respond, God forbid you see some trash on the ground. And it's like,
is he pro litter?
Yeah, exactly. He's anti Brian. So it's like, hey, dude, like you don't think what I'm doing is funny here. You're not interested in the content that I'm putting out there, which is okay. Like, why would you be? I understand. Look, there's no one that's less of a fan of me than me. Yes.
You took steps to take him out of the Brian Beckner business by blocking him.
Yes.
You're helping.
Yes, it seemed like I was upsetting him by posting pictures of dental appliances on the ground and with my comments. And so he didn't seem to like that stuff. So I did him a favor and then I blocked him. And then he cried to me about it. And then I felt like an asshole. And I'm like, you know what? I was mad when I did that because you're annoying and you're that's what I said to him. I go, I assume this was the result you desired because you were trolling me and saying shitty things to me every time I posted something. And so I assumed you wanted me to be upset and block you. And then I did that and now you're sad. So look, we've worked it out. Darvin, the OC, is a great guy. We go out, we exercise our Second Amendment rights together. We're good pals. We play like he used to invite me to play golf. Now I can't play golf with him anymore because the course they go to is too white and expensive and hard. And so, I can't afford it. So look, I haven't seen my buddy. I would love to go get beers with my good buddy Darbo. I can't wait to see him again. But everything he just said in that voicemail was 100% true. Okay. Here's another one.
Hey guys, it's Drew and Phoenix.
Oh, Drew and Phoenix.
Training correspondent. Every year I try to call in and give you guys my thoughts on the rule changes before everyone else gets to see them.
Oh, I need this.
And this year we have challenges to balls or strike calls. And the way this works.
So I haven't watched a game yet, Ed. Are they doing the thing?
No, but I think they had it in spring training. Oh. But then I don't think
it's not in the season
right now.
Yeah, it's not. They're still working out the kinks.
They tested it out, which, you know, I do think an easier thing would be just robo-umps.
Robo. They got the box. The box is right there.
I saw our good friend, Jay Stu.
Uh-oh. I bet he's got thoughts.
Oh, he was like, people say we can't have robo-umps. Why not? What's the reason? Why? He was right.
Broken clock.
Absurd.
Yeah.
It was absurd.
Of course. What? Like we should have had him a long time ago.
They show that grid when you watch a game now. Yeah. It's right there. And I was watching a game this afternoon.
Yep.
And one pitch was like in the box and you just called a ball. And they're like, he's just not giving him that today. What?
Given. I don't give the low strike.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Is it a strike or not? Well, it might be a strike for some other guy. It's not a strike for me because I don't give a low strike.
Yeah.
I got my Long Beach State Dirtbags hat on. I went to the Long Beach State Santa Barbara game with G Fish and Travis Ridgers over the weekend on Friday night. And Long Beach State, first of all, the entire team, it's kind of sad. The entire team's like 5'6". I mean, they still shoved it up the ass of the much more athletic Santa Barbara team. But the Long Beach, their leadoff hitter is like the size of that guy that was like number 5'8" for the Eddie Guardado. No, what was his name? Eddie Lemkin, Eddie something. That Eddie Goodell. When they sent up a little person, it was like Peter Dinklage was up to bat. Now, Long Beach, their leadoff hitter Alex Champagne is Peter Dinklage size, and I'm like, oh, this guy's just got to crouch down. It's impossible to throw him a strike. But even when it's at his eyes, that's still in the strike zone. If the box was there, that's a strike. From the letters to the knees or whatever it is. If it's in the zone, it's a fucking strike. Like, why are we protesting? What's it called?
The challenge.
Challenging. Why are we challenging shit? Like, let's just have it right or wrong.
Yeah. I think the batter, catcher, or pitcher can do it.
Yeah.
Maybe they're doing it all year in the minors.
Yeah, that's probably what it is.
Spring training.
Yeah.
But I it doesn't exist right now.
That's what, and I heard, Cowboy Joe West or like one of these umps saying, well, sometimes because the technology is not perfect, like one out of every 10 pitches or something, they say that this balls and strikes thing says neither ball nor strike. In which case, still have a guy standing back there. You know, we could be the arbiter of the one every 10.
Their jobs to robots. Just have a guy there in case it doesn't get it right.
I agree. Let's see what Drew and Phoenix has to say.
Twice a game, any pitcher, catcher, batter can challenge a call, I think, twice a game. And within
you know what they should do is they should have any player on the field can challenge. So like the left fielder could be like, hold on. Like just anybody.
Well, that makes as much sense as Aaron Boone.
Yeah.
Challenge. He argues balls and strikes all the time from the dugout. Hey, fuckface.
Yeah.
You can't possibly know.
Yeah.
You can't possibly know if that's a strike.
Nepo baby. Yeah. Fuck Aaron Boone. His eyes are so close together. How could he even see? How could he? He could never be an umpire. He couldn't pass the sight test. He's got only one. Like he hit that one big home run that one time. That's maybe the greatest home run in Major League Baseball history, considering that the dude is basically a cyclops. Those eyes are so close together.
A second of that challenge, the Jumbotron shows you where the pitch was.
Yeah.
So this makes me wonder why we still have umpires calling balls and strikes with this technology existing in the first place.
I agree.
But another part of me is conflicted because I don't want to lose guys losing their shit, ripping bases out of the field, throwing a hamper of dirty laundry on the field when the ump makes a bad call. Because that's like the best part of baseball, right? Or at least one of the best parts.
Yeah.
But the biggest shame for this to me is that Angel Hernandez retired. I would just love to see his face when the Jumbotron shows him calling a strike 18 inches off the plate.
He didn't care, though.
In front of like 20,000 people.
He did it on purpose.
So rest in peace to him. Not literally, but I'd pay for him to be back and be wrong in front of the entire world. All right, that's all for me. Keep the ball.
Thank you, Drew. One more.
Thank you.
Steve Nix down.
Hey, hopefully I'm not too late to put him on.
Hey, Stephen H-Town, you're not standing behind Katie Shady's garage by those woods, are you? Like, just, I know you live in Houston, but you're not out in Northern Kentucky, Cincinnati area, out because, I'm just saying, I would love to meet you, but not in that situation. That's all I'm saying.
Worst songs of all time, Ken Ford.
Oh, yeah, worst songs.
But I got to say, Barbie Girl in a Barbie World. That's got to be the worst song ever.
Yeah, it's a bad song.
If you ever have,
last few years, that's a 25-year-old song. That's Barbie. Oh, wait, no, he's saying another one.
It was
100%.
You had it in there.
Yeah, well, he said if you have any kids the last few years, but I think now he's about to say something besides Barbie Girl. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But these are novelty songs.
I hear that song, I want to kill.
They're supposed to be bad.
And then the absolute, absolute worst song of all time. One of the biggest bands in this.
Train. Santana. Oh, Styx. Great band. Oh, Domo Arigato.
Not only were they going from the best band in the world to unlistenable, they never recovered. And one of their lead singers, main songwriters, just, he was forced out.
Oh, Dennis DeYoung. You're talking about Dennis DeYoung with that wig.
So, those are my, along with
those
I gave you all back. Anyway, you're welcome.
What are we
called?
Yeah, Guy Ritchie.
Wait, did you talk about that? That's a show, right?
There is a Guy Ritchie show, but this was kind of a fun World War II, essentially a bunch of British.
Oh, really?
Ne'er-do-well soldiers or whatever. They fucked up some Nazi shit.
Okay, what's the one?
There's one called like Mob Land or something that premiered like yesterday on Paramount. It's a Guy Ritchie TV show. It's got Pierce Brosnan and like Tom Hardy.
Tom Hardy. Oh, gorgeous. Beautiful.
Yeah, gorgeous.
So handsome. So Guy Ritchie, I do like Guy Ritchie. Like even the Sherlock Holmeses were kind of good. Like he's like he knows how to make things exciting. It's real bap 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 bap. It's happening. Good dialogue. It's good. I will say Somebody recommended that I watch that movie with Kendall Roy is like British and they're like growing weed. And then Matthew McConaughey's there. And they had to make him American because he can't do a British accent. And
it was fun.
Everyone's dressed all posh.
The gentleman.
And I was like, I can't with it. You know what? I really dislike the, the succession kid.
Kendall Roy.
He's a lot to deal with. And he was really doing a character in that. And I was really put off by it. And so that kind of put me off Guy Ritchie in general, but I would like to jump back in. So maybe I'll do that.
It's like the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, I think is the name of the movie. It's just like a fun fuck you Nazi
movie. I like that kind of shit.
And that's a must. Gotcha. Anyway, guys, I'll be listening tomorrow.
Okay.
Or Tuesday, whatever.
All right. Okay.
Hey, Steve.
Love you, buddy. Okay, let's do one more just because we have so many to do.
Ed, Brian.
Oh, Stu.
What's going on?
Stu might go on a long time here. Right
there. Yeah. Hey, I'm calling up about the worst songs in history. Oh, yeah. There's some worst songs, but mostly... there's just an artist, like one in particular, that I just cannot stand at all, really.
Do we want to guess who he's going to say? I mean, he's
talking about a solo artist.
Yeah.
But it's got to be somebody.
Yeah. Can't be Train, right? Because that's mine. Yeah, Train.
He's gonna say, like, Bryan Adams.
That's a good one. Bryan Adams. It was amazing.
How did Summer of 69 not get in there?
That is, yeah. And also, like, what's this guy singing about? He was like 7 years old in the Summer of 69. Like, that's, I'm going to say that he's going to say the great Richard Marx. He doesn't like Richard Marx.
And I had to look it up on YouTube or anyway, sure. Google.
Yeah.
And her solo career, she's just done fabulous, made a bunch of money. She came from this band called Fleetwood Mac. Nick Fleetwood, what's up with that guy? And they were all having sex with each other anyway, fucked. So that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
And what's her name? Not Christine McVie, but Stevie the Nicks. Other one. See, I've blocked it from my mind. Yeah. Stand back.
Stevie Nicks.
Like, she's gross.
No, I don't think she's gross.
And I'm just doing this off the hip. I thought about it, but here it goes. Okay. Here we go.
Okay.
You know, she had a big hit with Tom Petty, who also, I don't say he sucks, but she's completely overrated.
Get the fuck out of here, Stu.
Petty?
Tom Petty's great.
Hold on, what else? I'm losing it here. But
yes.
She does. Christine McVie? No, that's not her. Stevie Nicks, that's her. Yeah, right. She's horrible.
No. Now look. Ed, my mother is the biggest like Fleetwood Mac fan in the world. And then my first wife, the mother of my children, also the biggest Fleetwood Mac fan and Stevie Nicks. So I've heard enough. Like, I don't want to ever encounter that music again. That said, it's good music. It's just not for me. Yeah. I've heard it. I don't need to hear it anymore.
I would say just about all of their music is not for me, but yeah, I agree. Yeah. I do like the song Landslide, but yeah, like,
yeah,
I don't,
it's a banger.
But like, yeah, it's good music that I don't choose to listen
for me. It's not for me, but I would never, I don't think anyone would put her in the worst songs category. And it is, you know, it could be, there's some good artists that have bad songs, you know,
we had Paul McCartney in there.
Paul McCartney's in there. Others, you know,
he's had great songs.
Yes,
he had some stinkers.
Rob Thomas, also Smash Mouth. Okay, guys, thank you for that. Let's do a quick email here. Okay, hold on. Oh, there's a lot of them. Okay, G Fish wants to weigh in on the Savannah Bananas. Those that needs to stop. He thinks they should not be the future. Look, but no. I never have to encounter the Savannah Bananas. So what do I care?
I do every once in a while, like, you got to see this clip or like the rare time you turn on ESPN and they're showing highlights and they're like, look at this Savannah Bananas. And it's like, look, the Globetrotters have a very important historical importance.
Yes. Harlem. Important. Yeah.
But like, they were the outlet because Black people were not allowed to play in professional basketball. So so there's an importance. And so I can always think they're a good thing.
But Savannah Bananas. You did go and you did see that they played the same show two nights in a row. Yeah.
Night. two different friends. And I'm, wow. Still regretting that.
I think of that when I see clips of the Savannah Bananas. I'm like, I hope no kid went to this two nights in a row.
Yeah, like, oh, come on. Yeah. It's mid third quarter. They got the bucket of confetti again. Yeah. Like, what are we doing?
No.
But
Curly Neal.
They're very skilled because I've seen like plays, a cartwheel turns into a pitch. It's like, that's great, but it's never going to be for me.
No. No, I'm with you. It's not for me either. I don't know what it is. I don't know who's buying a ticket to that. I don't know who's entertained by it. I agree with you, G Fish. It is not the future. Brian and Ed, I just saw the subject of the new podcast. I have a late submission, which is undoubtedly in there, and it's Tiptoe Through the Tulips by Tiny Tim.
Stern used to have him on.
Hope it's in there.
Weirdo.
Because there's no worse song, and I think it will take the crown. Thanks, fellas, and happy belated birthday, E. That is from our dear friend David Bray, who, of Thank course, you, is David. In Salt Lake City for work.
It's a terrible song. I don't know how many people know it these days, but... But he played a ukulele. That was his thing. And he like had this, he was a huge guy yeah. with a very high pitched voice, and he played a ukulele poorly.
Yeah. See, we talk today about like influencers or like the Kardashians, right? Like people with no talent. And you're like, why are they famous? But let's be honest, this is not a new invention. This Tiny Tim. What, like, he was on Johnny Carson once a month and doing what? Just being a weirdo. Like,
he was famous for being a weirdo.
Yeah, he had a song. He had a stupid song, or like Rick D's radio DJ. And then he did, look, he's a guy with a good voice, you know? And then he does Disco Duck, which sucks. It should have been on the list, which sucks, right? And it's like, oh, now how about we give him $70 million? Like, this is not a new phenomenon, these influencers. We had Tiny Tim back in the day. Look up Tiny Tim, because he's a fucking weirdo. Also, he kind of reminds me of, like, Jimmy Savile. Like this.
Oh, yeah, like terrifying looking.
Yes. Yeah. It's like he died, you know, before we found the bodies. Like, if somebody came out and was like, oh, Tiny Tim was Tiny Diddler, we'd all be like, of course he was. Look at him, you know. Thank you for that, David Bray. Another one. Ballers, I love the bracket show. I especially love how I still have no idea if Jason Stewart is the biggest troll ever or just has some wild opinions on music and YouTube TV. I believe he said that a Snow Patrol Christmas song was good, which should automatically make any musical opinion he has null. I worked retail for years during college, and I was subjected to hours and hours of a Muzak playlist. I heard lots of turds of songs, but there is one that stood out above all the rest. I wanted to send it in, but it's not very well known, so I don't think it would fit into the show. It's a little ditty by Shania Twain, featuring former Sugar Ray frontman Mark McGrath.
Oh, isn't he like working Access Hollywood now or something?
He was. I don't think he is anymore. He seems like a very just good guy, but he got all the face surgery, Ed. He's like all got all the fillers and stuff, and he looks very strange.
he seems like a nice guy.
Yeah. But yeah, I think he did have a second act doing that. Okay, hold on. Let me finish this, then we're going to play the song. I think I have changed my mind on the most terrible songs I have ever heard. I've listened to every episode of TBL since I discovered it years ago without skipping a minute, and even during a Manuel call. That being said, I barely made it through the 10 god-awful seconds of that rap, pop, country garbage Last Night by Morgan Wallen. This is the biggest piece of shit that my ears have ever been subjected to. Way worse than anything Billy Joel has ever come up with. Boys of Summer is a banger. Regards, Adam from Houston. See, now he's just weighing in on what we did. Like, that is just a good assessment of what we did. Let's hear a little bit of the great. Now, Shania Twain, she's Canadian, right?
I think
clearly not her real name, Shania Twain. I don't know what her name is, but it ain't Shania Twain. That's a nom de plume. She also has the worst style of anyone I've ever seen. That said, I would love to have sex with her. I just look at her and I go,
think she has bad style.
Oh, yeah.
She's never being an attractive singer.
Very. Just look at any video of her. She's wears the worst clothes ever. But that said, I would like to get her out of those clothes and have sexual intercourse with her. And I look, I don't know what she looks like today, but I would still throw my hat in the ring just based on a past performance. Let's hear this beautiful song that she did.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. And she's looking hot as fuck here, Ed. Yeah. Woo. This ain't just any kind of party. Nah, I think you stay at home. Can you imagine? This is. Do you think Mark McGrath? Here's the great thing about Mark McGrath. He can't even sing. And it's like he's even when he's pretending to sing, they like got flip phones and shit here. This is very of a time. Look, I'm not mad at this song at all. And I'm not mad at Shania Twain, as I would like to reiterate that I'm sexually attracted to her. Ed, let's talk some things that are not, in fact, sports related. Well, it's time for Now Sports. Now Sports segment on the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. Now Sports. Now Sports. Now Sports. Now Sports. Now Sports. I'm talking about the segment now. Now Sports. Now Sports. Now Sports segment. Oh. And what? Tell us, what is happening in the world of things that are in fact sports?
Yeah. Corey Feldman blames Johnny Depp for being dropped from What's Eating Gilbert Grape. He said that I was a junkie and he didn't work with junkies.
Well, I mean, this Corey Feldman, he was a huge child star. Like what's the big deal? Like let him work, you know? Like, and also did Johnny Depp have that kind of juice back then that he could get people like Corey Feldman fired from being on TV? I wonder.
Well, let me set the record straight.
Yes, Johnny?
I'm a wino forever. That's but I have no place for junkies.
What?
But also, I got him removed because I talked to the producers and I said, hey, could we get that little kid from the Goonies on? And then they give me this Corey character. I wanted the little guy with the gadgets. I wanted Data. The kid who played Short Round in the Indiana Jones movie.
Oh, a different. It was a casting error. You wanted Data.
I knew he was talented, and of course, he won an Oscar last year. Yeah. So I know my Goonies, and they gave me the wrong Goonie. I mean, I would have even settled for Sloth. If they sent Sloth, I would have.
Sloth? You wanted Sloth? This was the Leonardo DiCaprio role. So he had to play a mentally impaired
challenge,
yeah. Right? Yes, person. That was, and you didn't think Corey Feldman had the goods to do that?
No.
Yeah.
Listen, this took great range.
Yeah.
You can't just give me some Corey.
What about
the little Data guy? The Data guy had range.
What if
he's like a little James Bond out there?
No. What if? What about Harry Aoki? Did you think maybe Harry Aoki could have showed up to play that part? Or do you guys still have beef from that time you guys made eye contact in a spit roast back in the day?
Greco.
Oh, Greco. I'm sorry.
No. Yes. Aoki's still a dear friend.
Yes. What about Dom?
The Vietnamese guy with the Japanese name.
What about you didn't want to throw Dom DeLuise's son a role in that movie?
Peter DeLuise?
Yes.
No, he's too rotund for that role. We need a little guy. A little guy who is so little and he fits under that big trench coat in the Goonies. His name is Data.
Data.
That's who I wanted, not Corey. I don't know what he's talking about with all the junkie talk. Just go play, go make License to Drive or one of your drivel. We're making films here.
Yeah,
we're making cinema.
Cinema. Okay.
Us French people don't stand for that.
You're not French. You're from Kentucky.
I have a sip of wine. Wino forever.
Okay, everybody.
Adieu.
Johnny Depp. So nice to have Johnny Depp weigh in on this. Now, this Corey Feldman, Ed, I see the clips of him because it's like he does music now, but like everyone knows he can't actually do music. And so it's like
he's still like very much influenced by Michael Jackson in the Bad album era.
Yeah. He's still
still doing that?
Because Michael Jackson
did a number on him.
Well, he imprinted on him, but he's got good things to say. He seems to say that Michael Jackson protected him from the other people that were around. You know, he's alleged that Charlie Sheen was basically an R-worder of people. And, you know, that's a believable story. This Corey Feldman, he's had a rough go of it. And maybe if he got a chance to be in a movie, if Johnny Depp didn't fuck him over like that, like he wouldn't still be out there doing a Michael Jackson impression at state fairs every week.
I was looking, it's just accusations, but like, was he really on the movie? Or was he not cast and he thinks he was cast and he was dismissed? Because I didn't see evidence that he actually was dropped.
Yeah.
Because DiCaprio was like the up and coming Hollywood guy.
He was. And it was. So, and it's, you would need a good actor to do, you know, that was a hard role to play. And so, and it makes sense that they would cast DiCaprio.
I don't know the exact year, but like that was after the Coreys had already had a run.
Yeah. Yeah,
so it seems surprising that he didn't get that part.
I would agree with you.
I mean, that he got that part.
That he would have ever been thought of. Yeah, but they weren't putting him in shit at that time.
No.
Yeah.
Chelsea Handler sent a severe letter to family after a rough vacation. Don't drink the last margaritas was on the list.
So this actually, look, this will come as a shock to people. I'm not a huge fan of Chelsea Handler. She seems like kind of a lot to deal. Like this may come as another surprise. She had a show. I never saw one fucking minute of that show. And she wrote books and stuff. And just like the encountering any of her books would just be so upsetting to me that I never did that. Also, she claims to be the same age as me, which is actually which is very upsetting to me because there's no way that she and I are born the same year, but that's what she's saying. But I will say this. She's like hosting her family and she's
paying for everybody's trip.
Yes. She's paying for every, and her nieces and nephews come and
being a little shit.
Yes. They're drinking all the margaritas. They're not cleaning up after themselves. They're being rude to the staff, you know? And she's like, look, she's like, I've got people there that are going to make you comfortable. They're going to make your bed for you. They're going to feed you. Be nice to them. Look them in the eyes. Tell them please and thank you. And don't, if you take the last of something, refill it or make sure it gets replaced. Like this is just good etiquette. I'm kind of on the side of Chelsea Handler.
And on her side.
Yes, me too. I never thought I would be.
Don't be shitty.
Don't be shitty. And don't tell people you were born in 1975 like me. Like this, you were clearly born in the late 60s. And that's okay. No judgment. You know, be the age that you actually are. Don't say you're my age. That's all.
Woman catches coworker allegedly spiking her Coca-Cola can on a spy cam. And I would like you to click on the picture and just it's always the last people you'd suspect.
Yeah, hold on. hold on. Circling, it's populating. A man has been arrested after allegedly tampering with his co-worker's drink, which was captured on a secret camera set up by her to catch the culprit in the act. Joseph Ross, 34, was taken into custody in Milwaukee last week and has been charged with placing foreign objects into a woman's Coca-Cola can at their workplace on the grounds
of the
Wisconsin State Fair.
Look at that hand. This dude has a junk drawer scissors haircut.
Holy shit. Like, look.
That's one of those ones you just go, Your Honor?
Yeah.
And you just point at this dude and slamming the gavel down. Guilty.
And it's like, look, if he didn't do this one, he's going to do something at some point. Right. Like just based on the picture, like if he's not, what did he put in? Is it jism? Ed, is it semen?
Because he spiked it. I'm guessing they would say he put a bodily fluid or something.
Rohypnol
or like booze or something? I don't know. Yeah. I would assume it's Rohypnol.
Super glue, Ed. After reviewing the footage, her worst fears were realized as she saw Ross allegedly pouring super glue into her drink from a small bottle with a white nozzle and then walking out of frame. Never leave your drink unattended, people. After making the shocking discovery, J.H. stopped the police who were in the area, relayed the information, and handed over the footage. When interviewed, Ross reportedly admitted to adding a supplement.
A supplement?
To his woman's drink. Police report that while allegedly tampering with her drink, the 34-year-old wore clear latex gloves, which later had been discarded. Yeah, I mean, this is really troubling. Glad they got this guy.
You know what's bullshit about super glue?
Tell me.
Is you might as well just get the tiniest bottle because it's good for that one use. And then you're like, well, everything is like, what am I supposed to cut the bottle in half now? Like, it's done.
And we know how you like to get the most out of your toothpaste, Ed. That must drive you crazy because it is. You use a couple drops and then you go, even if it's the next day or a few hours later, that fucking shit is dried out and useless after that.
When I need super glue, I live a block from a CVS and I'll just get the smallest one they have.
Smallest. That's.
But I don't like keep it in stock because it's pointless. It'll just dry out in a sec.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Yeah. It's, you know, that's big glue getting over on you, Ed. That's big super. Yeah.
That's right.
Big crazy.
So a babysitter checked under a child's bed because the kid was afraid there was a monster under the bed. So she checked and she found 27-year-old Martin Villalobos Jr., a man who was ordered to stay away from the home.
Did this take place behind Katie Shady's garage out back by the woods? Because this is what I pictured happening.
It's Kansas.
I imagine the picture being the guy from the superglue story. Like this, that's who does this. In a scene straight from a horror movie, a babysitter in Kansas was checking for monsters to reassure a scared child and discovered a man hiding under the child's bed. Do you think the guy came out and he's like, I'm from the security company, and actually your carpet, you're supposed to have the low pile carpet, and this is clearly shag. And here in Kansas, we only allow low pile carpeting here. So I'm going to have to write you up, and then I'm going to have to bind
Dennis Rader. Yeah. It's just like, yeah.
And I'm going to have to bind, torture, and kill you.
Yes.
You need to be bound, tortured, and killed now. I'm sorry.
I believe he fucked her up. Like he knocked her over and then took off.
Sandra Bullock. I remember somebody, Sandra Bullock, like came into her hallway and there was just some fucking rando there. Like, this is like the most scary thing that can happen. Very scary.
And also, that poor kid.
Yeah.
Because, like, I saw the scene with the clown in Poltergeist and I took like a running jump to my bed for like 2 years.
Yeah, because it could come out from under. Yeah.
This kid is going to be my age and still be worried about who's under the bed.
You know, sometimes I go to sleep right over here where the magic happens, Ed, and I go to sleep and this, I demonstrated earlier, I sleep like this with the pillows. Well, sometimes my fingers hang over like between the wall and the bed, and that there could be a monster under there that could reach up and get those fingers. I have to have them placed on the bed, not hanging off any sections, because then they could be got.
Yeah, what if you hung your fingers down and you touched Martin Villalobos?
Yes. I would never recover. Like, there's not enough therapy in the world that could rescue me from that.
Nope.
What else?
Terrifying. Yeah. An Indiana teacher.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to keep it together for this.
Okay. All right.
She was charged with sexually abusing children by asking them to gangbang while wearing
the language, please. My God, man. It's a family show here.
Yeah, yes. The gangbanger while wearing scream masks. She's been ordered to stay away from the victims. These were middle school boys. So can you imagine trying to get multiple middle school boys to keep a secret? And she's like, all right, I need you guys to all dress up with a scream mask and fuck the shit out of me.
Look, there's a lot to unpack here. First of all, like, she's
oh, in the pictures of her.
Yeah, she's kind of disgusting. But the one where she's laying back in the orange bikini, like with the with, and she's like had a blow pop or something, so her tongue's all blue. Right. Look,
it's like pink there.
I've done worse. That's all I'll say. Look, I've had worse encounters in my life.
Rough.
Yeah, it's very, it's extremely rough. She's got look. She doesn't know her angles. That's an issue. You know, like she should learn her angles first of all. And look, it's a weird.
Middle school boy.
It's yes, that's the really upsetting part. It's like it's hard enough to be asked to perform when you're not necessarily in your comfort zone anyway. But when she's like, hey, she's like, I can't get off unless you bring five friends and you wear Halloween costumes. Like that's like
a fictional villain.
Yeah, I'm pretty horny. I don't know that my dick gets hard in that situation. That's all I'm saying. It could be tough for me to give a full Becknering in that situation. There's just too much ancillary activity happening in the room. And imagine like the sound she's making and what she wants. Like you got to all wear scream masks. Are they different scream masks? Or like are you?
And then all right, boys.
Yeah.
Now, you promise you're not going to say anything, right? And it's like. 12-year-olds being like, well, steel trap here. You're not gonna hear.
They're running to the cafeteria. Like they're literally like standing on the table at the cafeteria, telling their buddies like the high fives.
What Miss Stevens said.
Brittany Fortenberry, Indiana teacher, charged with sexually abusing children. By allegedly asking them to GB her. Are we using AOL? I mean, the language. How about group sex? GB? Is this, are we living in such a filthy society, Ed, that the GB word is just in the fucking lead of news stories?
Can't they at least say spit roast?
Yes. Euphemize it. At least Eiffel Tower, whatever. Has been ordered to stay the hell away from the alleged victims in her case. According to new oh, God, and I just saw her face. Hey, I'm going to have to cut out all of what I just said before about that one picture of her looking good. This woman is troubling.
Oh, the mugshot?
Yes, yes. Oh, my God, there's a couple. Woo, holy shit. Also in the docs say police, one of Fortenberry's alleged victims, told cops she had a drawer full of sex toys. Oh, that's the least shocking news in the story. Police also say the student
in her teacher's desk, like when you confiscate kids' like personal items, dildos.
Was it in the classroom? I think this probably went on in her crib, right? Yeah. Imagine if you know, like the one time you saw your teacher at like at a red light or something. Imagine going to inside of your teacher's house and seeing her fucking sex toy drawer. Like nobody's brain could process that at that age.
And then imagine she asks you to try to rub and bang
there. Everybody get those little hairless dicks hard. We're gonna need and get your masks on, guys. It's the only way it works for me. okay, Ed, let's wrap it up there. Fantastic work. As always. Just you know, we're back. We're doing what we do. We show up, we do our thing. We had a nice little tournament. The NCAA tournament is still going on. What's that last 6 months? This is
fucking just.
It's so long.
One seeds.
Yeah.
Four one
it seeds. It is. It's all one seeds in the final four? Yeah. Oh, God. For Ed Daly, my name is Brian Becknor. This has been episode number 569. Nice. Of the Ball Lifestyle Podcast. We will see you next week.
CBLS, hell yes, the lifestyle's baller. Podcast getting bigger and not smaller. Broadcasting weekly, that's what we do. With Easy Ed Daily and a man, Jay Stu, and Brian Becknor, quick to dissect.